Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost, and I hope everyone who celebrates Thanksgiving had a great one, filled with candy corn like mine was.
Lots of candy corn, yeah.
Lots of candy corn.
You are a lover of candy corn.
I am.
So it was a necessary gift to send your way right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm David Bloomberg with a...
with a mouthful of candy corn.
This is why you shouldn't eat on podcasts. And joining me...
You've given me guff for that before, so...
Yes, well, joining me, of course, is the other voice you hear, my co-host, Jessica Lewis, who sent me quite a cornucopia of candy corn.
It wasn't a huge amount, but it was enough.
Oh, it was a huge amount.
And the pumpkins, too. You said you liked the pumpkins, so I threw a bag in there of those, too.
Yep.
Now, how anyone can love candy corn, I don't understand, but... There's a lot of things about David Bloomberg I don't understand. So I guess that's just one more component to you that leaves
you in a
shroud of mystery.
That's right. That's right. Now, Jessica, one thing I don't understand is how she could be correct in her prediction for our second week in a row. Jessica, you are right.
I was. And listen, so usually I am wrong, which is why this t-shirt became so appropriate, because I'm usually not correct. But I wanted to...
For the listeners, what does your t-shirt say?
I may be wrong, but I doubt it.
And now, just to be clear, Jessica sent a very similar t-shirt to me, which I have worn with pride many times.
Yes. And I borrowed this from my husband because he has a similar viewpoint on a lot of things. So I decided that I would not only celebrate with the t-shirt, but also I would like to thank Tony Lance for giving me a fabulous idea to create something celebrating David Bloomberg.
Yeah.
I wish it was in color. We're a little gray today, but here is a framed tweet, David Bloomberg saying, okay, guess I was wrong, immediately following the vote on Survivor 43. So I just, you know, wanted to put that out into the universe. Everybody know that that's now a framed thing. And maybe I should just, I don't know, might be fun. Stick it over here for the remainder of the podcast. See this? Oh, look at that. Aw.
Oh, well, so it looks like I'll be doing the podcast myself. There seems to be some sort of technical error until that tweet is removed from the video. Okay, I'll bring her back.
You can't handle it, can you?
No, I don't
you
like
it. You said it yourself.
I know, but
you admitted that you were wrong.
It happens from
it very, does. It very, does happen. And that is fair. And I just have to appreciate this moment because this made me laugh a lot. And then Tony's suggestion, I was like, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. So I do wish it was in color, but that's all I had. So there we are. I won't leave it there for the entirety of the program, but I just want to let you know I do have you in a frame now.
It's probably not a good thing for a lawyer to say, I have you in the frame.
Different kind of frame.
Yes, yes. When I made my prediction, I was thinking that Jesse and Cody wouldn't want to target Noelle over Owen because they had a better relationship with Noelle, and we saw nothing in terms of a relationship with Owen. But mm-hmm. then out of nowhere, Jesse is like, I have a good relationship with both.
Yes.
What? What?
Uh-huh.
What? What? When? Where? How?
Yeah.
Why are Survivor producers this season just constantly dropping these revelations as if they're well known?
Yeah. Well, and the Beeb thing too with Carla. Like yeah. all of a sudden he was like, "Oh right. yeah, and I know she's looking for Beeb, so we all know she has an idol."
Yeah, but this in particular screwed up my prediction. That's why this was.
I see. It's personal.
It's personal.
Mm. Yes, see, I will just not ever guess Owen because he's my winner pick.
Well, yes, but yeah, the bead thing too. You know, Carla, you know, Jesse's just like, oh yeah, Carla has it. Despite an earlier secret scene that suggested she'd fooled people. And mm-hmm. James saying in interviews just a week earlier that he didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
And Jesse's like, oh yeah, and other people know too. Just dropping truth bombs mm-hmm. left and right out of nowhere.
Right.
It's
really annoying.
Getting annoying. Yes.
Yeah.
They're,
yeah.
It's my understanding that in TV, the mantra is show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
This season on Survivor has really been all about tell, don't show.
Yeah, that is fair.
Whether it's this, whether it's Cassidy. Well, we haven't seen much of Cassidy up till recently, but we see them talking like, oh, she's a big social threat. Oh, she's a big strategic threat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, show us.
Yeah. Well, and Erica, the same thing happened with Erica.
Right.
Where all of a sudden they were talking about, there was all these like little tiny snippets about how she was a threat and her social game was great, but we hardly ever saw it. And I do think that that's very unfair for someone like Erica, who is a winner.
Yeah.
And if Cassidy should end up being the winner, it would also be very unfair to her.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's unfair to her either way, really, but
fair point. Yes.
I mean, it's like they took what happened in 41 and they're like, we're going to multiply it.
Yeah.
We're going to do more of it. You know, and yeah, so even other things that went on, you know, that, yeah, maybe we did know about. Jesse was dropping bombs about that, too, through the course of this episode. But those dealt with getting Noelle out. And so we'll get to those as we go. And, you know, it's our job to go through the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since, so we can compare Noelle's game to those rules and look at those bombs that are being dropped. And that will include all the non-spoiler information available, including social media and secret scenes, plus previous interviews. Though with the Thanksgiving holiday, we were not able to see the interviews with Noelle in time for recording.
Right.
So hopefully she doesn't do what has happened a couple times and drop other bombs like, you know, oh, they voted me out because I, you know, promised to you know, put palm fronds on them in their sleep if they kept me here, you know, or something.
I had an idol that nobody knew about.
Right, right.
Something including, super secret.
Yeah, including the viewers.
Right.
So, but
hopefully not. But yeah. Noel, we will do what we can with what we have because you deserve it. My gosh.
But before we get to the rules, we always have other things to talk about, which we already started in talking about Jesse's revelations. Now we can also talk about Jesse's blindside checklist.
I loved the editing in this part of the show, I must say. Yes. This was hysterical.
Yeah. Now, first, I want to say there is only one true checklist when it comes to Survivor, and that's the shirt I'm wearing.
That is true. That is true.
But Jesse, you know, he had a pretty decent one, too. To recap,
his was a little more specific, though, regarding blindsiding.
Yes. He said, one, have a cover story for every conversation you have so your target doesn't wonder and worry about it. Two, have a fall guy to throw under the bus. Three, have a backup plan. Now, all of that checklist pretty well falls within rule one of scheming and plotting, with, as you said, just more specific details pertinent to Jesse's plan here.
Yes.
It is true that you should do most of these things in this particular case, but it's not quite as general. You should definitely have a cover story for your conversations. And he has done that through the season, telling people, hey, I'm really with you, but then going back and it turns out he's just pretending to be with them. When he's telling them, he's pretending to be with the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that a little bit more when we start talking about Noel. The fall guy idea is interesting as a way to avoid blowback if things go wrong. Mm-hmm. But it also raises the possibility that people could go talk to that person who may be unaware that their name is being tossed around that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the backup plan also raises the possibility of detection, which, as Rob and Shannon discussed on the feedback show, almost happened to Jesse. Because we saw Gabler and Carla talking at the, you know, just before tribal council.
But I will say this, though. All of his rules, while they do come with blindside checklist. While they do present some potential pitfalls, I think it's also about the delivery. And watching him actually deliver each of his blindside checklists as they were happening, we have to give him credit for, because you can take all of those same things and mishandle them completely just by your delivery alone.
Oh, yeah.
He's very aware of that. And I think that's what makes it so much more interesting to watch him, because he's explaining how you have to actually go about presenting these things to people and how you like have a backup plan. He wanted Gabler to understand why this needed to be done, as opposed to just telling Gabler, this is what we need to do, making Gabler feel like he's more involved in the process and kind of thinking it through. So I really do think that Jesse's checklist for blindsiding, there's a lot of levels to it, but I do appreciate the fact that they gave him kind of a soapbox to stand on for a little bit and spell that out to the universe, because we've heard about it. We've seen it time and time again, but it was really quite comical to see it done in the fashion that they did it. And I love the shot of Gabler when a backup plan. And
it was so good. Well, and the way it was laid out, and this is where that tweet came from, I believe, that you have framed. I was certain that Survivor was going to be like, four, have it all blow back on you and get voted out.
Yeah.
Because all of these things do, if you don't do them right, run the risk of creeping into the second rule of scheming and plotting too much.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job here. I do worry about the impact it may have on him going forward. I mean, I worried at the time it would hit him in that episode. But I truly feel this was sort of a make or break moment for him. Either people will figure out he's too much of a threat and vote him out very soon, or this was part of his winner edit.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things to discuss when it comes to how this is all going to shake out for everyone.
Yep. So make sure you stick around for predictions.
That's right, because I may be wrong this time.
I certainly hope so.
Listen, I have a theory. I'm going to go with it. but okay. I'm not jumping ahead.
It better be wrong.
we'll see.
Now, moving on from that, a less serious thing I have to mention is in tribal council, Jeff asking Gabler for a heart surgery metaphor.
Mm.
Now, the whole point of a comparison like this in tribal council is so you can take something complicated and instead have people understand it better.
Right.
With something more straightforward, like, okay, we're on a plane. I'm the pilot. They're the passengers. Everybody understands that.
Yeah.
Going through the aorta into the whatever, and we're losing whatever. You don't use heart surgery as the simplified version.
It certainly cleared it up for me.
Yeah. Now, I did have one person who I correspond with on Twitter, Dr. Jeremy Faust, who is an ER physician and writer. He saw my tweet and TikTok about this, and he did respond that he found it highly illuminating.
Sure.
So that makes one person.
Well, I will add to this. My daughter has not been watching this season. So this was her first exposure to this cast. And she provided some humorous insights into various members of the cast. And as she was listening to Gabler speak, she did say, she's like, that guy's a heart surgeon? I don't know, I tell you what, I feel like I'd feel pretty comfortable with him in the operating room.
So, he's not quite a heart surgeon, but he's in the surgery.
Oh, I'm not done yet. My mother made sure to jump in and correct that narrative and say, well, Hannah, he's actually not a heart surgeon. He works in the operating room. Mm-hmm. So she did get the full explanation. But I just found it funny that that was her take on Gabler from that commentary as well.
Yeah. So.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, just. And the thing is. We can't even blame it on Gabler. Jeff was the one who was like, Gabler, compare this to heart surgery. Really,
well,
Jeff?
I do feel like he's going down some strange paths in tribal council, like the duck thing that he did.
The duck thing was crazy. Wahoo!
I know. I was like, and he tried to do the Jaws theme song a couple episodes. Like, Jeff, come on. Like, you're great. Just stick to asking questions. We don't need these weird metaphors.
And when he
and
turned
analogies.
Into flirty Jeff, when Carla told him he looked good in black.
The whole thing is just very, it's unnecessary. He doesn't need it. He's great. He's just great. And just stick with what you know. But it is the new era of Survivor.
Yeah. Jeff is having fun. I'm glad he's having fun.
Me
if
too.
He wants to make weird duck noises and motions, whatever. Okay. I think he's quacking up, but.
Mm. You should probably stop eating candy corn.
Now, normally, as another item here, I would bring up Noelle's reward challenge, come from behind victory here, but I have a feeling that might get discussed later.
Mm.
But we can talk about Cassidy's immunity challenge win. I know Rob discussed it with, I think, Tiffany. It might have been Shannon. I listened to those podcasts in quick succession. I think it was Tiffany. But that Cassidy used an interesting way of finishing off her stack of tiles by piling them up once she got near the top.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like one reason we haven't seen this strategy before is that people would run out of tiles to use.
Yes, and that is fair because I do feel like they had more tiles. I really do because that became an issue. But was it this particular build the House of Cards or was it a different one? Because I do remember that being an issue. Well, because they've done this on
I've seen people run out of cards when they tried to do something similar, like we're just going to do it this way.
Yeah. So
I don't know if they had more this time or. If Cassidy just made better, more economical use of them earlier.
Yeah.
So that she could do this at the end.
Yeah.
Either way, seeing that you have these, doing it that way was a very smart move. Won her the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
When it turned out, she might really have needed it. And so, you know, I thought that was great. But I also know you tweeted your displeasure at something Jeff was doing during this challenge.
Yeah. don't point it out to people. I mean, because here's the thing. When you are doing individual challenges, people like to try to cheat and they want to try to peek. And we've seen it this season in particular where teams are knocking over the puzzles so other teams can't look at it. This has become a very known event that happens when you are actually doing these challenges, that you want to peek, you want to look, you want to see what other people are doing to try. And we see it all the time. So why is Jeff helping? What? Because in this type of challenge, you can't be peeking because you have to be paying such close attention to the weight that you are putting on the handle that you're holding so things don't tip over. You can't be peeking to see what other people are doing. So Jeff, stop it. Don't explain a strategy that someone could be like, oh, that's all I have to do. Stack, stack, stack. And then that person could end up winning. Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah. In his slight possible defense, sometimes we on TV hear him say things that the players don't hear him say.
Oh, you hear everything he says.
I mean, I've heard from other players you don't, because sometimes he'll be talking in a low enough voice that you can't hear him. But since he's got the mic right there, we hear him.
Yeah, in a challenge like that, where it's silent, I mean, it's pretty quiet. I know the challenges that I participated in that were quiet like that, he checked to see if he was bothering us. Like if you have to concentrate, he wants to know if he's bothering you and he'll stop talking. Otherwise,
I thought you were
going to
say, and then he does it more.
No, he'll stop if you want him to. But if not, he's going to keep talking to kind of fill the air. And so they have things to use. But in that type of situation, I don't know. I feel like it seemed rather loud.
I thought so, too. I just wanted to throw it out there as a possibility. Yeah. But
I just not, I'm certainly not trying to call out Jeff Probst. And as a player, it's one of those things where, if you have figured something out that no one else has figured out, you want to be able to utilize that to your benefit and not put it on blast, because I'm not going to tell everyone, oh, guess what I'm doing? I figured out if you lay them flat, then you can put more. And then Jeff was putting it on blast. And so that to me, I think is not the appropriate approach that he should take in a challenge like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to discuss before we move on to the rules?
Well, I was going to just give a shout out to Noelle, but I know we're going to be talking about her.
We're going to give her many shouts.
We are going to give her a lot of shout outs.
Yeah.
But no, you've addressed all of the most fun things that we need to talk about.
All right. Well, before we see how she did, reminder that the rules we are about to discuss come in a shorter and much more colorful version, which you can frame and you should frame, unlike certain tweets.
Now you should frame all of your tweets.
I mean, if you framed all of your my tweets, people would have to buy many, many houses.
Okay, all of the frames where he says he's wrong, or frame all of the tweets where he says he's wrong, because that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. With good reason, because I'm not. But
I know this. This is why I had to... I have to put it up for the whole world to see. I'm going to put it in color. I think it'll look better in color.
Oh, okay. Anyway, people, for these posters can go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed, scroll down to the poster and click on it.
But you should also frame it. It looks great in the frame.
Yes. And anyone who needs a suggestion for a frame, I have one that I've suggested to people, presuming it's still available. But, just a reminder that, of course, the holidays are coming up, so we want to make sure to give our shipping department enough time. So make sure, if you're giving these to, someone on your list, get those orders in quickly.
Yes, the shipping department's going to be very, very busy. So
yes,
let's get that done.
You can also get the poster design on a T-shirt on the same page, or the checklist design that I'm wearing as well on a T-shirt. There is, as we're recording this, there is one day left on an RHAP store Black Friday sale for 10% off.
Lovely.
And so you should check out my Twitter for that, and or check out RHAP's Twitter. you know, presuming you can get there quickly enough to get that Black Friday / Cyber Monday deal. And again, that's robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeet. So yes, make sure you get all those orders in, get them for all your loved ones.
Yes. Everyone, check your list off.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Well, Noelle said in her final words that she wanted to play the hardest, and that's what got her voted off. Is she right about that? Mm. If so, which part of her play had the most impact? Overcoming the odds to win challenges? Leading the charge to blindside James? Trying to make a move on Cassidy and Carla? Or was it something different altogether? We'll look at all of these options and more as we figure out why Noelle lost. The first and most important rule tells players they need to scheme and plot. Noelle has been watching Survivor with her mom since she was a kid. To be clear, since Noelle was a kid, not since her mom was a kid.
Yeah, because Noelle's still very young.
Yes. So it seems clear she understood the importance of this rule. We saw that earlier on, like when she paired up with Justine and they thought Jesse was on their side as well. Although, as we already mentioned a little bit, he had them fooled by saying he was with them and was only pretending to be with Cody and NECA when actually it was the other way around. Then she paired up with Dwight and they still seemed to trust Jesse. Then Dwight was voted out and she still seemed to trust Jesse. What she didn't know. Yes. And what she didn't know was when Dwight was voted out, she was almost the target. And Jesse at the time told us he trusted Carla, whom he'd just met, more than he trusted Noelle.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that Noelle's game was very interesting in this regard because she was able to find a strong second, but not let that strong second take her down as well. She was constantly, and I know I'm jumping a little bit about her willingness to be flexible here, but I do think, don't do that. It's fine. But I do think that it just shows how aware she was of the circumstances, because that's often how people's games can become destroyed, is that they tell, you know, it's like the, you cut off the head of the snake versus the, you know, and all of that, those analogies, you know, what do? You take out their person who's like their wingman, or do you take out the actual person? And so I do feel like she recovered exceptionally well, which just showed how aware she was of who she was playing the game with, because she knew how to bounce back from those things really well.
Yes and no, because as you said, we saw a pattern. So yeah. She was aware of certain things, but seemingly completely unaware of where she actually stood with Jesse.
Well, and that goes to the gameplay that Jesse is providing, because in Noelle's mind, I think Noelle thought that she was fine, that she was
right,
able to recover because she's got Jesse and Jesse's feeding her those blindside checklist things that he's, you know, creeping into the game very early on. So I think overall, she was trying to take all of that information and utilize it to her benefit, because you have to put your faith and trust into people when you play this game, right?
Right.
And Jesse, we've seen, is very, very good at convincing people that he is on their side. And so I can't necessarily fault her for falling for that, because he's really good at it. But it's also one of those, like, first time you do it to me, shame on you. Shame on me kind of thing. And there is definitely a pattern here, but now she became the consequence of that pattern.
Yeah. And speaking of Jesse convincing her, one thing that still bugs me from the early days of Vessi was after Jesse voted out Justine, when he was saying it would be NECA, he managed to convince Noelle that NECA really was going the next time. To the point that Noelle didn't play her steal a vote advantage. Now, we discussed at the time how it sure would have been nice to see some hint of how he accomplished that, but we never found out.
Right.
Now, did it turn out to be correct? Yeah, he really did vote out NECA that time. But I don't know why she would have trusted him right after he did it to her the previous time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why trust Jesse when he kept pretending to be with her, but wasn't?
Yeah.
What is it about him that can, I mean, if he wins, I think we've seen a lot already, but this would have been one more thing. Like, oh my gosh, he was able to convince her time and time and time again to trust him when she shouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, I think Jesse is really utilizing his skill set to the best he possibly can. And when I say skill set, his backstory is one that I think has provided him an ability to really, like, get in deep inside of himself, right? I mean, when you come from a lot of struggle and when you have to work so hard throughout your life because you've been through some of the most traumatic things you can experience, and then to come out on the other side, and now he has a family and he has a house and he's very proud of all of that. I really think that that's caused him to develop an innate ability to understand people better, because he knows what it's like to struggle and he knows what it's like to need and to want. And I think that that helps develop his game in that way. And so he's addressing each person, I think, based upon what their needs and their wants are. Mm-hmm. And telling them exactly what they need to hear in a way that is very unthreatening to them, which is what we saw with Noelle. I mean, it's one of those questions. Why was he able to continue to do this to her and she continued to work with him? Clearly, there was something that we haven't seen. It would have been nice to have some interviews to talk about in regards to this right now, but we'll have that and we'll understand it. But I have to at least say that Noelle was trying other options as well, in addition to she was continuing to scheme and plot, because you only have so many people, right?
Right.
There was only six people on that tribe. You're kind of limited. And when you feel like they just took out the person that was closest to me, I need to find a new family. I've got to be somewhere. And she managed to keep herself there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just she just kept trusting him. That it's you got to scheme and plot, but you know, when you get stabbed three times.
Oh, and don't get me wrong. I think that she certainly missed something here, but we don't even know how he's able to do it.
Right.
And so,
and that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And so clearly there's been something that's been causing her to keep working with him. And I hope that we'll figure that out at some point. We'll know what that was.
Yeah. Now, moving forward to more current times, Noelle kept trying to make plans work, but often found herself in a similar situation to Owen, as in on the outs.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she voted the right way, I don't think she was ever really with the main alliance until the split tribal council, when she, of course, volunteered to use her advantage in a way that would make James feel more relaxed. We discussed that at length last week. But as a very brief reminder, I thought it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the repercussions in a couple different rules as we continue here. But I bring it up now because it was scheming and plotting. I just don't think it was good scheming and plotting.
Yeah, I think that Noelle was that was a very kind of surface level scheming and plotting, because there is this idea of a resume that we hear so many people talk about. And when you're doing something in front of the jury, well, then you have something on your resume.
Right.
And the jury doesn't have the benefit of sitting back at camp, listening to the discussions, necessarily knowing all of the ins and outs. And we had an opportunity afterwards to kind of go through it and go, well, that didn't make any sense. But at the time, that's what the jury is seeing. Now, the jury will probably step back and discuss that and determine that was unnecessary. But at, you know, in that moment, you're like, aha, look, I just did something.
Right.
And that is very surface level resume building Survivor.
Right. Right. Now, since Noelle felt like she took the lead last week in ousting James, this week she wanted to continue that and said she wanted to get the big strategic threats out of the game. It was a good plan. She just didn't have the votes on her side to make it happen because, once again, she was outmaneuvered by Jesse.
Yes. It all comes back to Jesse.
Yeah. Well, and her trust of him.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, so, that was a conversation she was having with him, too, about wanting to take out the big threats.
Yeah.
So yes. I really do feel like there was some connection there that she felt she had with Jesse. And maybe all of this time we're being presented with Noelle as having a second in Justine and having a second in Dwight. Maybe she really thought her second was Jesse, but all of these other people were the
side pieces.
Other, the side. Exactly. Those were her side pieces. It makes sense.
Possible. Yeah. All right. Well, we can go to the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. Now, one thing several of the players talked about was how, as we mentioned in the first rule, Noelle had a tight pair with Justine. And then when Justine was voted out, she had a tight pair with Dwight. And when Dwight was voted out, she had a tight pair with Owen. She just kept finding those replacements we talked about to form a duo. Or, as Jesse noted this week, every time he took out her number one, she came back with another number one. Because she was fairly obvious about it every time, this told the others she knew how to strategize, and it also made her more dangerous because this rule specifically warns against being in an obvious duo.
Right.
I never thought we need to mention three successive obvious duos, but there she was.
Yeah. And it is fascinating that there was no learning, because she even mentioned to Janine when we saw Ellie get voted out that it was actually going to be good for Janine because, you know, that'll help her game because she's no longer going to be tied to someone. But Noelle kept tying herself to someone.
Yeah.
And perhaps Noelle thought that she was not as obvious about it as it appeared to everyone else. But it was clearly a theme, as we've discussed. We see a lot of themes on this particular Why Blank Lost. But yeah, I mean, I do think that maybe there was a comfort there to know that you have somebody who is your number two. And she's trying to keep her options open, but it was becoming very obvious to everyone how she was doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of that, we have the repercussions of her move to take front and center in voting out James that we just discussed. We talked about this already. You know, you just mentioned it. She wanted to do it because it would stamp it as her move. Showed she was playing hard. But she didn't need to do it.
Right.
And that made it over scheming.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
no, this is one of those situations in Survivor where you do have to work through all the permutations. And I think that that's one of the problems with so many advantages and different things to be mindful of and have to figure out how to play them and whether or not you play it correctly or you don't play it correctly. And that's a lot of pressure too. And so I think she was really just hoping to have that moment where she can say, aha, look what I did. But all of us at home, it was very, you know, we went through all the permutations and realized that was not necessary. And it's quite possible that maybe other people who were playing with her knew that too. And we're like, let her do it. Let her do it. Because then we can point out to like if she makes it.
Go out front there.
Yeah. Final three, like, oh yeah, no, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. It was completely unnecessary.
Right. So. Right. All right. Well, the third rule tells players to be flexible. And since you already started getting into this earlier, how do you think Noelle did here?
Well, she was very flexible because she was not going to let the fact that her side piece or sidekick or number two, whatever you want to call them, once they get voted out, she wasn't going to let that stop her from shopping around to find somebody else to then fill that space, that void. And she did it very quickly. And I'm wondering, she had to have developed a good relationship with each of those people prior to kind of taking them in as her new number two. But clearly she was willing to consider other options. But also she did really lock herself into Jesse, as we've already talked about. And so I do question her ability to see the whole picture. Like, she's willing to work with other people, but I feel like she's also not willing to cut off someone who is clearly taking advantage of her in different ways and parts of her game.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with everything you said. And I mean, some of her flexibility was born out of necessity when at the merge, she was left out of a couple votes. She knew she couldn't continue that way. And she did everything she could to get in the good graces of the majority, or whatever that was worth, and was willing to vote out whomever they wanted.
Right.
You know, we even heard from James that she reported to him that Janine was throwing his name out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't need to do that. She chose to try and get in with that group.
Yeah.
But I don't think she was ever truly with them, in part because Jesse was with them and he was using her.
Yes. And I do think that that's one of her biggest issues, is that she was a vote for Jesse to kind of play with and put where he wanted it, because he was so good at convincing her that she was with him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. And we certainly saw Jesse specifically refer to this idea while he was deciding to target Noelle and saying, yeah, she did this nice thing for me, but I have to deal with, you know, I have to do what's right for me and my family at home, not worry about this person out here.
Right.
As for Noelle herself, I think she did fine here. I do wonder if maybe she felt too emotionally connected to Jesse, and that's why she kept trusting him. And if that was the case, well, then she should have better separated that part of things. But that's only speculation.
Right.
Other than that, she seemed willing to make moves on others, even when they were friends. Such as I just mentioned about, she helped James and then she targeted James.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she didn't seem to take things personal when it did happen. When Justine was voted out, that clearly frustrated her. She was kept out of that, but she didn't react to it in a way that would have been problematic for her. And I think she did the same thing when Dwight got voted out. And so she was very good at maintaining her composure when she needed to.
Yeah.
And she even explained to Janine how to react to it and how to approach it. So I think she was keeping her head very, very level in that regard.
Right, right. Well, the fifth rule tells players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. Pretty much everything we saw said Noelle was doing fine in this regard. She did give us some very funny facial expressions during the James and Owen argument at camp, and then again when it was rehashed in tribal council. And then she eventually tired of it and declared, okay, this conversation is over. But nobody seemed to take offense at it. Mm-hmm. And she was so polite at the argument in camp that she was even offering up papaya in the middle of it.
Here we go with the papaya.
Yes, yes. You may be getting hungry from all your arguing. Have some papaya.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned food, because that was one thing that we didn't really talk about either with her. I know we're going to talk about the immunity challenge win, but she did also mention part of her strategy and why she chose who to go with her at that time as well. So she is at least trying to keep that in mind. I know I'm going way back to rule one, but it just came to me because you talked about papaya.
Well, there was a secret scene. Where she told us that the reasons that she espoused were not the real reasons.
Right.
So I'm not really sure what the real reason. I think they were strategic reasons, but she pretended they weren't strategic.
Right. And that's where she explained that she was choosing people for strategic reasons, as opposed to she didn't want it to appear that there was any strategy involved to her choices.
Right. Now, I do want to say that not everybody held the same opinion that Noelle was, friendly and nice. NECA told Rob that Noelle's social game wasn't great back at that point because she was always just off with Justine.
Mm.
Now, to NECA, I'm sure that was true because we've talked several times about that split in Vessi.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's accurate for everyone overall, and I suspect that it wasn't. Or if it was at the time, she learned her lesson pretty quickly from the Justine vote.
Yeah, and I do think that this has been an interesting group of survivors because there does seem to be so many smaller groups that are forming a little more obviously than I think we're accustomed to. We've had Cody and Jesse who have been buddies the entire time, and it's very, very out there. I mean, there's no secret that those two are friends, and we saw the split with Vessi was a 2-2-2, or it was, and we've seen that almost with each of the tribes where, and I don't know if it's because they started out with only six people and it was much smaller. And so those splits become that much more obvious and you can't really hide them as much. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like Noelle probably fell into a very strange dynamic because her original half is now gone. Now she has to kind of scramble and figure out what she's going to do and where she's going to go from that. But there's just a continued grouping that's been happening. Yes. And it's like, what group do you focus on? Where do we want to put our attention and our energies at this point in time? And I feel like Noelle has been kind of floating around in that particular type of structure where there's all of these different groups. And then it becomes like, well, now what, who do we have to look at now? Cause it's not just one person. It's usually two people.
Yeah. Yeah. All these little allies that are running around there. So.
Okay. Round two, name something that's not boring.
A laundry. Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire. Huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
All right. Well, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. And this is where X marks the spot on our treasure map. And we're going to find some gold here.
Good. I need it.
Yeah. It may just be golden candy.
Oh, geez. Candy corn.
Nonetheless. I mentioned that Noelle said in her final words that wanting to play the hardest was what got her voted out. And indeed, there were several aspects of her game that showed what a threat she was.
Mm-hmm.
The most obvious way this was true was in her challenge performance, where several times the others saw her fight her way through, overcome the odds, with the most recent, of course, being the reward challenge this week, where she was way behind. And you know how Jeff always says, you're not out of this. And we always go, yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't. She ended up winning it.
I know. It's crazy.
Jesse talked about how she came back in challenges and said she's always going to find a way to fight through and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you, Jessica, were just talking a couple weeks ago about how she was killing it in the challenges.
Yeah.
Not even considering what she had to do to overcome.
Right. This is just who she is. She has just an insane thing that, she had to deal with and losing her leg and having to adjust her life, which was being a very athletic person. She was, I believe, doing lacrosse. Mm-hmm. So someone who was already super athletic and very strong and determined, and then had this terrible thing happen to her, and she hasn't let it stop her. If anything, she's taken it and just utilized it in the person that she was. She became a Paralympian. And so this is someone who is just so motivated and so willing to push her body to the limits that nothing is going to stop her. And so watching her perform in challenges was incredible, just because you know that she is not going to quit. And that's someone that when you're doing individual challenges against and you're getting down to the end of this game and immunity is going to be on the line, mm-hmm. that's very, very scary, because, boy, she is definitely in that for the long haul and she's going to fight through. And I think that that was a perfect example of seeing someone just not quit, even though they were so far behind. It was incredibly impressive, just truly, truly impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And then on top of it, it wasn't just the fact that she won challenges. It was how she was treated by Jeff and others after she did. Mm-hmm. This week, she was celebrated by everyone after her come from behind mm-hmm. victory. Jeff yeah. said, that is what this game is about. And he went on about how he'd seen a lot in 43 seasons, but that was near the top.
Mm-hmm.
And even when she lost the challenge where she was stuck in that rope net, everyone applauded her. We talked about this. Jeff gave her special kudos for never giving up. I believe previous players have mentioned that people target Jeff's favorites because not only of the attention they're getting, but because Jeff can influence the thoughts of other players if he keeps praising someone.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the others knew if they were going to make it to the end with her, she would be very tough to beat in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things about her that I think make her an incredible threat, not just her challenge abilities, but also just she is a likable person. And I think she could present herself very well in the final tribal council. There are things about her game that I think would have been pointed to, like we've already discussed in regards to the misuse of the advantage, like that wasn't a necessary time to utilize that. But again, I do think that it's all of those. It's all encompassing, right? It's everything.
Right.
And I think that that's certainly something that people are considering. Who do I want to sit next to at the end? And who do I have a shot at beating? And Noelle, I think everyone was starting to realize they didn't have a good shot at beating at all.
Yeah. I mean, it was also that the strategic portion, like you said. Mm-hmm. A number of players in this episode commented on other things that made her a threat. Cassidy was talking to Cody and said that, you know, Noelle already made a big move and would continue to build her resume. And called her a big threat. The big move in question was that unnecessary use of the steal a vote, but the others didn't necessarily see it that way.
Right.
Especially if you want to put the target on her. But you know, Noelle herself said in that episode that she woke up that morning wanting to make a big move. And that pretty much nails it. She wanted to be seen as the person behind the move. Mm-hmm. She wanted to stake her claim to having voted out James. But in doing so, she painted a bigger target on herself.
Sure.
When she didn't need to.
Yeah.
It made Jesse say, for example, that she was picking up speed and he saw her as one of the best players out there. And he and Cody further saw her as a threat to take them out
mm-hmm.
if she had succeeded in taking yes. Carla out this week.
Yes, and that's something we've talked about a lot, too. When you become an individualized threat to one person, mm-hmm. then that person kind of makes it their goal to get you out first. And I think that Jesse is very aware of how people are being targeted. And if she's standing and talking to Jesse and saying, we need to start focusing on the biggest threats, he's going to start looking around and go, yeah. Well, who's left?
On the biggest yeah. threats. Not you, of course.
Right. No, we'll start with Carla and then we'll get yeah. to you.
Right.
So I do think that he was getting ahead of that. And this is something that at this particular vote, when you're down to eight, it's that decision of when do you do that? When do you start taking out the people who you're actually working with? Is it too soon? Is it the right time? Mm-hmm. And I think for Jesse and Cody, they were working through the numbers and thinking, well, now is the best time to do this because she doesn't have immunity. And what if she wins next time? Then we're down to seven. So I think that overall, you know, this was definitely something that they're all considering very, very heavily.
Right. Right. Now, going back in time, rewinding a bit, I will say that Noelle at least did try a little bit to lower her threat level by not mentioning to the other players that she was a Paralympian, let alone a record holder,
mm-hmm.
According to what Justine told Rob back in her interview. Noelle apparently just told them she was athletic and a lacrosse coach.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I mentioned in our preview podcast that it was good that she planned to lie low until she had to make cutthroat decisions. But I was not so thrilled that she talked about having to make big moves at that point. Now we see why.
Yeah. Well, and when she was talking about making big moves, was that something that she was vocal about with other players?
No, I'm saying that was in her preview, in her.
Oh, yes. Interview. Okay. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that this is just part of, again, who she is.
Right.
She's someone who is wanting to put herself out there and wanting to do the difficult things and willing to take the risks. And it very much fits into who Noelle is. So hearing her say that and then watching her play the game and her mm-hmm. taking that approach, which is not like we see Jesse doing, not like we see Carla doing. But what are we saying about Carla and Jesse? They're playing awesome games, right? They're both doing a great job, but it's a different type of game. Whereas someone like Noelle is like, I want to be the showboat and I want to put that out there, which then puts a target on you. So now she's no longer there for Jesse and Carla to point to, right?
Right. Right.
Mm.
All right. But before we get to the portion, Rule 7 covers idols, advantages, and game mechanics. And of course, I've already voiced my thoughts on how she played the steal a vote once or twice or 40 times. So I don't think we need to go back over that again. But we should talk about how she got it. Which she was able to do by convincing James and Owen to let her have it when they all went on their journey together.
Mm-hmm.
This, I would say, bonded them at least somewhat. And, you know, she and Owen were pretty quickly comparing notes at the merge about who had what.
Right.
But before that, when she first got back to Vessi, she wisely only told Dwight as a secret about the advantage and hid it from Jesse and Cody. At some point, she told Jesse and Cody, another one of those things we talked about earlier, like, when did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they know, but we don't know when they knew.
Right.
So, you know, Survivor production just chose not to show us. So.
I agree.
Okay.
I know, I'm not going to rehash what we've already rehashed.
Yeah. All right, then we'll move to Appendix A, which is about the other players keeping their end goals in mind. And, of course, we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. This group has so many strong players that they pretty much have to keep taking out each other if they aren't going to go with the plan James originally wanted to do, which was all getting strong players to the end together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, clearly they don't want to do that. Or rather, they recognize that there are certain players they definitely don't want to sit next to in the end, like, you know, Noelle. So it was time to vote out another strong player while still leaving some of the, I call them weak at this point, but they're the unaligned apparent non-threats in the game.
Right, right.
Which can be addressed or used later. It will be interesting to see if this continues. Are the strong players going to knock out other strong players like dominoes, or will they turn their attention to some of those they don't consider the big threats? That comes back to the question that we'll get to in predictions.
Yes.
So
can we talk about that yet?
Well, I didn't know if you had anything in Appendix A. No, we're not.
Well, I mean, I do think that everyone is certainly keeping their end goals in mind at this point. And the discussions that we saw included many of them referencing sitting next to Noel in the final three. And I even believe Gabler said something about, you know, we have to start thinking about the jury. I think that was another comment that he made at one point as well. So they are very aware of the structure and and what they are anticipating in order to get there. So I think absolutely they're thinking about that. And now is definitely when you need to start making those determinations, because you are at eight and you're getting so very close. There's only a few more votes before you get down to that four, which fire making. Yes. But anyway, I won't go down that path. But yes, so I don't know what
you're talking about. We have never complained about fire making. I don't know what you're saying.
It's terrible. Just terrible. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. But yeah, so I think really, as far as Noelle is concerned, their biggest issue was if she's in one of those final three spots, you're going to have a real tough time comparing yourself to what she's been presenting this entire time during her game.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is about time to wrap things up. So what are your final thoughts?
Well, I have to quote Jesse when I talk about Noelle, because he called her a warrior. And I truly think that she is. I think she came into this game being that warrior that she was, not letting anything stop her in her path, and even like making a lot of us scratch our heads sometimes, because as we've discussed, like, we're not sure why Noelle is doing certain things that she's doing, but she is forging ahead and this is what she's doing. And she's doing it, you know why? Because that's what Noelle wants to do. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that's the type of person Noelle is. And that's how she played this game. She had a plan when she came in. She wanted to make big moves. She wanted to be seen. She wanted to work hard and she wanted to win. And that's what she did. She went in guns blazing, putting it all on the table, willing to fight through anything and not letting anything stop her. And so I've got to give her incredible props for the game that she played. But I also am aware that she might have just, you know, pushed a little too much when she didn't need to, because, again, that's who Noelle is. And she thought that she needed to. Unfortunately, by putting herself out there and pushing as hard as she did, she made herself a target because everybody saw what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And this is a very hard game to play when you have to find that balance and not put yourself at the forefront, but still manage to play a great game. And unfortunately, Noelle just didn't find that correct balance. She was out in the forefront. She was really being seen. And because she was so seen, she became a really big threat to particular people in this game who saw the game she was playing and knew at some point in time it was going to come back around on them. And she was going to be targeting them and trying to make a move against them. So they need to do it first. Yeah. So unfortunately, we no longer see Noelle, but we will see her on the jury. So it'll be very interesting to see what her thoughts are with the final three.
As I mentioned in the sixth rule, that was where we found gold. Noelle was a threat for several different reasons. She did scheme and plot, and she managed to come back from a couple attempts to weaken her by taking out her trusted allies. But she apparently kept trusting Jesse, despite the fact that he was the one picking off those allies. Then she took her scheming too far when she decided she needed to make her big move by unnecessarily using her steal a vote and putting herself front and center in the James vote. Rather than being something good on her resume, this turned into one more reason she was viewed as a threat. She was already seen as overcoming the odds in many cases, as coming from behind and killing it in challenges, etc. When we combined all the factors that I mentioned in the sixth rule, we ended up seeing Gabler saying she was his hero, Cody saying he didn't want to sit next to her, Sammy saying they couldn't go to the end with Noelle, and others voicing similar thoughts. Noelle had a big public win in voting out James, and then a big public win in the reward challenge. And she was getting praise from other players and even Jeff. Nobody in their right mind would want to sit next to somebody like that at the end, if they could even get to the end, because Noelle was really feeling it, trying to take control in other ways as she targeted Cassidy and Carla and who knows who was next. She had simply become too much of a threat to stay in the game. And that is why Noelle lost. All right. Well, before we get to the portion, our predictions, just a reminder that the rules we discussed are available in poster form and T-shirt form at robhasawebsite.com/YXLostFeed. Go there quickly for the t-shirts for the Black Friday, as I mentioned, and go there quickly for the posters, just so the shipping department can get things out to you as a gift.
That's right.
So, predictions. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You were right again, so you get to go first again.
When did this become a rule?
Literally always the rule. Literally always. And you would, when you would get it right in the past, you would be like, oh, I don't like that.
I know, which is very, very, just very few and far between. So here's where my head is at. I'm looking at what we have left, and we've discussed this about who are the threats and who are the people who are kind of not seen as the big threats, right? And we've talked a lot about Jesse. We've talked a lot about Carla. Now, Jesse comes with Cody, right? Carla comes with Cassidy. Now, I noticed something very interesting after the vote, when it was the two tribes separated and when they came back. What was the first thing you heard Carla say? Do you remember?
She said she wasn't included, and it was the first time she hadn't been included in a vote.
Right. But to which, no, I,
said,
I'm
when to which the, I said, to which I said, yeah, don't tell Owen that. He'll be like, you, that's me every time.
I know.
You know,
no, anyway. This is what, when the other tribe came back, the split half, she went, oh, Cassidy. She said it out loud. And I was like, oh, so she was very relieved to see Cassidy was still there. So we know that they all, that's a pair. We know that Cody and Jesse are a pair. And we also know that Cody and Jesse have two idols amongst them. And Carla has an idol. So that's a whole slew of idols with some people who are very, very threatening to win this game, right?
Yes.
So then we go to the other side. Now, Sammy, we've heard, is a flipper, and people are starting to notice this. And so I think Sammy is finding himself in a very difficult spot because people are starting to realize the type of game he's playing. Owen is not threatening to anyone because Owen is very matter of fact about things. He considers things and he's willing to go where he needs to go, even though he was on the wrong side of this vote. And then you got Gabler. Gabler, who called himself the Gallibator. What is that, what he said? It
was the Alligabler.
Alligabler. So, and now I think that Gabler is putting himself in a bad spot because I know that you often say if you see it in the, you know, what to expect next week, you know, then that's not going to happen. But he had one scene this past episode with Carla where he was talking about what we need to do.
Right.
Like, and he was focusing on Cody and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's Carla not going to want? Cody or Jesse to get voted out because then, hi, me, right?
Like, right.
She's doing so well at keeping the focus off of her, even though everyone is very aware of Carla, that I think that little bit of information was an overshare, that Gabler probably shouldn't have done that. And we also saw him telling, I think it was it Owen? I know how to get us to the final three, or it was somebody.
Yes, it was Owen.
Yes. And what's Owen going to do with that information? Hey, guess what? I've got some info.
I don't know. I think Owen might be like, yes, finally, someone who's going to take me to the end.
And I don't, but here's the problem. He needs to gain favor with other people, right? Because he doesn't have any. He doesn't have that solid second like we've got with Cassidy and Carla and Cody and Jesse. Like, he doesn't have that. So
maybe Gabler could be his solid second.
Yeah, but what has everyone been saying about Gabler the entire time?
He's honest and straightforward.
No, you don't know where he's coming from. Like, I mean, this is like a concern. They're like, I don't know which way Gabler's going to go. I mean, there was that whole scene where Cassidy was like trying to feel him out. Like, where is he going to vote? What's he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like Gabler is going to be seen as kind of being a threat because they're not going to know which way he's going. And all of a sudden he's going to be like, I'm coming. I'm like in the shadows and nobody knows I'm here. And I have this grand plan that I would like to present to everyone, and it's going to blow up in his face. And I think Gabler's going to go home.
Okay. Now, I was thinking the same thing originally.
Mm-hmm.
And over Thanksgiving, I spent some time talking to five of my cousins who are all big Survivor fans.
Mm-hmm.
They are all between the ages. Well, they're all teenagers. You know, one's in college. One just turned 13. So I think that's the age range there. And you know, I think I told them at the moment I was leaning towards Gabler, but I also told them wasn't official till, you know, we did this.
I love it's official.
Yes. And I changed my mind since then. I don't think it will be Gabler. It wouldn't surprise me, but I you know, we talked about that it would be interesting to see if the strong players keep knocking out other strong players, or they turn their attention to some of those they don't consider threats. Considering that Owen and Sammy were left out of the loop for this vote, I think they being Carla, Jesse, and those associated with them, might, if they want to target a strong player, look at Sammy, who they consider a flipper. I just, you know, going back to what you said with the Gabler of it all, I think you're right. I don't think Carla will side with Gabler. I don't think, I mean, since Jesse just worked to save her, I don't think she will be so quick to flip. But I just think that with all the comments we saw about Sammy being a flipper, that is more impactful to me. He went out of his way to involve Carla and then tried to vote her out the next time. He said, "I'm not flipping anymore." And then he flipped again. Even his own allies don't trust him. And they weren't even sure they were his actual allies.
Right.
I just think things have built up too much for Sammy. Now, will I be surprised if you're right? No.
Yeah, because
because that was my other idea was Gabler. But then I eventually went over to Sammy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I contemplated Sammy as well. And I think the reason why, and this again, I mean, we're watching this from our couch. We're not living with these people and experiencing everything they are.
Right.
But if you know Sammy's a flipper, then you have more of an understanding of where he's coming from, because you just don't trust him at that point, right?
Yeah, well, but do you know where he's coming from? He could be working with you.
Right, but he doesn't have the numbers, right? So if you take Cassidy, Carla, and Cody, and Jesse, that's four. Then they're controlling the vote as far as who's going to be going home. So the numbers are not going to be on Sammy's side. So it gives them more of an option to be like, well, who cares about Sammy? I mean, but obviously challenges, but we saw Gabler won an immunity challenge too. So, you know, I just think that Gabler is the scarier of the two, just because he seems to be presenting a plan that he thinks is going to finalize. And in order to get to the final three, what does he have to do? He's got to take out a bunch of these people that are likely those four, because he's talking to Owen about it. So that means he and Owen are two of those three. So who's the third person, right? So I don't know. That was where I ended up kind of landing.
Yeah, yeah. I started going that route because of what we saw in the preview. Now, what we saw in the preview was not Gabler's in trouble. It was Gabler's trying to form a final three.
Right.
And so it was kind of the reverse. If we had seen he was in trouble, I'd have been like, no way. But the fact that we saw he was trying to do something, I'm like, ooh, well, maybe he's in trouble. But I just circled back to Sammy. I don't know.
Yeah. No, Sammy was my other choice. Sammy was. So we'll see.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. You can get access to the Survivor Academy, the Patron 5 for 5, live viewing of other podcasts as they're happening, and more. And when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, they're the Facebook and Discord to keep you occupied with a great community of people. And neither of those are going away if, you know, another one blows up, another social media blows up. You can support shows like ours and everything in the network by becoming a patron at robhasawebsite.com/patron, or click on the link at our robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed page. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
And you should also say hello to us on Twitter before that potentially blows up. I am at JessicaLewis89, and he's at David Bloomberg. The numbers are starting to dwindle. People are getting away from Twitter, but that's okay. Hang in there. Maybe it'll be fine. And if you want to, follow us in the meantime and just see what we put out into the universe on Twitter. And I know that David Bloomberg has about five other social media accounts that he is now creating and becoming a part of, including TikTok. He is at David_Bloomberg. So you should definitely check him out there because he puts out multiple TikToks, not only Survivor related, but like every reality TV show related and also candy corn related. So there is a plethora of things that you can see relative to David Bloomberg at David_Bloomberg or TikTok.
That's right. And on Instagram, I am David Bloomberg TV, where I copy those over on about a day delay usually. And then, as Jessica mentioned, I have another couple accounts. I am on Mastodon, where I am at David Bloomberg at MAS.TO. So you can join me there. There's a small community of Survivor Big Brother players that's growing a little bit, but it hasn't taken off yet, so you can be among the first. For a single place where you can find all of my important links, I mentioned last week, I've created what's called a link tree at linktr.ee/David Bloomberg. So that's linktr.ee/David Bloomberg.
He's so official.
And you can see it see it on the screen for those of you who are watching now. And that way you only need to remember one thing. Now, is it the easiest thing to remember? No, it's not. But I didn't create the URL. They did. And so you've got Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, podcasts, poster, shirt, Mastodon, you name it, it's all there. So again, go there. And then as I add more accounts, I'll just throw them on there and you will always find them.
Retirement has changed you.
I feel like I'd be doing it anyway. Maybe just not as much, but who knows?
I think you're doing a lot of TikToks.
Yes. Yes. people should also make sure they're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to our Wire Plus feed page, where you'll find great content like Know It All, Stockwatch, Survivor International, the B&B, and much more. And again, that's, you can just subscribe from the YX Lost page.
And I would like to thank Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does, not only for Y Blank Lost, but also RHAP. Thank you for all of the incredible work that you do. We truly appreciate it. And thank you to Will from America for the theme song that you created for the Y Blank Lost podcast. It's incredibly catchy. Love it. Thank you so much for that. And David, thank you. Thank you for this. Just, one more, just for good measure.
Who did you say suggested that? I may need to hit the block button.
He's right here. He's part of the frame.
Yeah. He also,
do you see this?
Yes. Actually, he's been one of the people who transferred over Troy.
Tony.
Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
He went over to Mastodon as well.
Mastodon. Well, Tony, you gave me a great suggestion, and I'm down here too because he's suggesting that I put this in a frame. Mm-hmm. And it was Jessica Lewis 89 is going to have this framed by the time you record. Ta-da!
Dang, that was pretty good.
So Tony gets credit in the framed portion where. Okay. Yes. Guess I was wrong.
Yeah, it happens.
but thank you for that. Yes. And thank you for this podcast. It was fabulous. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, of course, for changing up your schedule as we had to deal with the Thanksgiving holidays and travel. Thank you for all the candy corn.
I'm glad you are enjoying them.
Yes. Thanks to all the listeners for dealing with our couple day delay here. And again, I hope everybody who celebrates Thanksgiving had a good one. We will be back in less than a week because we will be recording at our normal time. We will see everybody then. Bye.
Bye.
Have you lost Survivor and you're feeling down? David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out.
This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why blank lost.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.